And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Now that Larry Noble is far away in Hollywood making a picture, wealthy Rupert Barlow is making the best of his absence by devoting himself to Larry's wife, Mary, while she's convalescing from acid burns on her hands and face at a New York hospital. Rupert has learned from the doctor in charge of the case that Mary will more than likely recover without serious scars. And this, plus his long unavailing infatuation for her, has spurred his interest anew. If he can possibly create a misunderstanding between husband and wife, now Rupert feels is the time to do it. And so far, he has managed to cause some concern at the hospital by veiled hints of disunity to Dr. Allen. And meantime, Rupert is having Larry carefully watched by an investigator every minute of the day and night in Hollywood. Right now, in the hospital, Dr. Allen is talking in the corridor to Mary's nurse, Miss Clark.
We must keep a careful watch over Mrs. Noble these next days, nurse. Nothing must happen to disturb her peace of mind.
I'll do everything I can, Dr. Allen. I guess we all will here in the hospital. Everybody thinks she's put up such a wonderful fight.
I have reason to believe that her face can be healed without serious disfigurement, but these are vitally important days. Any great emotional upset might be disastrous. Although I want her to use the muscles of her face to a certain extent, any sudden contortion caused by grief or shock might have a damaging effect.
So far as I know, there's only one person who could give her any real worry.
You mean her husband?
Yes, Dr. Allen. Honestly, it's a crime the way that poor woman waits for a letter from Mr. Noble. And for the first few days after he got out there to Hollywood, he didn't even write. Just one little wire, that's all.
I don't understand. I'll never be able to understand why he was persuaded to leave his wife's side at this critical time.
Because he's just a selfish person who doesn't care about anybody else, that's all. Just makes my blood boil. The way Mrs. Noble worships that man, and he just isn't worth it. What kind of man would leave his wife the way he did? I think it's a disgrace.
You must be very careful not to let the patient see any of this, Miss Clark.
Oh, don't worry, Doctor. But it's a good thing she has that wonderful friend, Mr. Barlow, to comfort her. He's been perfectly lovely about visiting her every single day. And the flowers and presents he sends.
I have noticed Mr. Barlow is here quite often. He's spoken to me about Mrs. Noble several times. Seemed very much concerned.
If you ask me, I'd say he's a lot more concerned than her own husband. He's just crazy about her, Dr. Allen. I never saw anything like it. Oh, I wish she'd give up that actor husband of hers and marry Mr. Barlow. Or she could have anything in the world. Anything.
You better not let your imagination run away with you, nurse. Just keep a careful watch these next days and let me know if symptoms of depression occur.
Well, I will, Doctor. You can count on me.
Very well. I may stop in later if I have time.
All right, Doctor. I'll go and see Mrs. Noble now. Well, now, aren't you about ready to take a little rest, Mrs. Noble?
And in Hollywood, we find Larry on the lot at the Marco and Franklin studio. During another long wait between shots, as the crew sets up the lights and cameras, the eager young actress Dora Dean once more approaches Larry and says,
"Gee, but you were good in that last scene, Mr. Noble."
Well, thanks, Dora. Although how you can tell anything from just a few minutes of action and dialogue, I wouldn't know.
I bet you're going to be a big hit. If Mr. Marco is as good a director as he says he is...
Now, shh. Do not say things like that, my dear. You might be overheard.
It probably won't make any difference anyhow. I don't think I'll ever get anywhere in pictures.
Oh, nonsense. Give yourself a little time.
I just can't see any future for me. When I was just a stand-in, I used to think if only I could get just a few lines, I'd be happy. But it's just as bad now. Hanging around day after day, and what do I get to do? Couple of walk-on scenes.
Oh, don't be so gloomy, Dora. You'll get there. I'm convinced of it.
I wish I had talent like you, Mr. Noble. The way you take hold of a scene, it's just wonderful. I wonder, if I studied with a real actor, if I could ever get to be good.
You're good right now, Dora. Just wait for the first break. After that, it'll be clear sailing. You'll have people following you wherever you go, begging for your autograph.
Now I know you're kidding. Say, I saw you drive in through the gates this morning in a snappy new car after you said you didn't have one.
Oh, that's just a loan, Dora. My good friend Tom Bryson insisted that I use it. He's the famous playwright, you know.
Oh.
I wouldn't have accepted the car, but I've decided to leave my hotel and find someplace more modest. And since I don't know where to look, I guess the car will come in handy.
What kind of a place do you want, Mr. Noble?
Oh, just a small room and bath. You see, I've got to save every penny that I possibly can while I'm out here.
Well, gee, if you want me to, I could maybe help you find a place. I don't want to sound like I was trying to butt in, but I do know my way around Hollywood pretty well.
Oh, I think that's very nice of you, Dora. I'll be glad to take you up on it. Maybe, if you have time, I could pick you up this Sunday.
Oh, swell. I'd love it, Mr. Noble.
You just tell me where you live, and I'll try to find my way.
Oh, no. It's better if I take a bus in. Meet you downtown. I'll show you where, and then you won't have any trouble.
I don't like to do that, Dora.
Oh, honest, Mr. Noble, I don't mind at all. Now, look, I'll write it all out for you, and if you drive down to the bus stop, I'll be there any time you say.
Good. Give it to me later. I think they're getting ready to shoot another scene.
And back in New York, Rupert Barlow is in the office of Irving Morse, private investigator. And as Morse finishes reading the last part of a report, we hear...
Picked up subject in Marco and Franklin's studio, 625. Followed in car, driven by Marco to corner of Hollywood and Vine. Subject got out, hailed cab, drove to Beverly Hills. Subject ordered dinner, sent to room, left hotel 817. Took car from garage, drove to Knickerbocker, parked in lot. Visited suit occupied by Bryson, a friend. Left 10:29, picked up car, returned to hotel. Mr. Barlow, there it is. That's the whole story.
It's not very much so far.
You're right. Mr. Barlow, I guess you expected something a little different, huh?
You quite sure your operatives are dependable, or do they just make up a story and turn it in?
Oh, my boys are the best in the business.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Now, what do you want me to do? Should I call off one or two of the boys, cut the expense sheet down a little?
No, no, just tell them to keep on, for the present at least.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, it's up to you. Only if you was to give me some idea what to expect, I could
do. I told you, Mr. Morse, I only want Larry Noble shadowed, and his actions reported to me. That's all. You can send the next reports to my apartment. Good day.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, anything to say? Oh, here, let me open the door.
Oh, I can get it.
And about an hour later, Rupert Barlow appears at the hospital, where he's shown into Mary Noble's room. His expression shows nothing of his recent irritation at the detective's reports, as he says...
Hello, my dear. I hope I haven't disturbed your rest.
Not at all, Rupert. I'm glad to see you. I was sitting up for a long time this afternoon, and I only got back here in bed because my nurse insisted I should.
And quite right. You don't want to overtax yourself right now.
Oh, I feel so energetic. I feel as though I could walk right out of here and get on a plane for the coast.
Now, Mary, I know it's difficult for you to be patient. But surely you know, my sweet, that these last few days are very important. I've been talking a lot to your Dr. Allen, and he stressed the need for quiet and peace of mind.
I know. I promise you I won't do anything foolish. And besides, I haven't much longer to wait.
No, what do you mean?
Dr. Allen is going to remove the bandages. And he's promised to let me see the result of all this waiting.
Well, that's strange. He hasn't said anything to me about this.
Of course not. This is something just for my doctor and my nurse and myself.
Now, when did he say he'd remove the bandages?
Sometime tomorrow. Isn't it wonderful? I've been begging him for days to let me know what to expect, but he refused. He said I must wait till the proper time. But today when he was here, he promised to let me see.
Oh, I'm so glad for you, Mary, my dear. Have you mentioned this to your husband?
No, of course not, Rupert. I only just found out a little while ago.
But you could get a message to him if you wanted to.
I'm not going to say anything about it until I've seen the result.
Well, suppose... Not that I like to say this. Suppose you weren't entirely satisfied.
I'm not going to think of that, Rupert. I'm just going to wait.
Bless you, my dear. You're such a brave, wonderful person. I hate to have you go through this ordeal without someone at your side. I'd gladly arrange to be here to give you whatever moral support I could.
Thanks just the same, Rupert. It's kind of you, but I don't want anyone with me, no one at all. I only want to know what I can hope for, so that I can start to plan the future course of my life.
Rupert Barlow is somewhat uneasy at Mary Noble's words. He wonders if Dr. Allen has given him a false idea of how this case would develop. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.